This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars,
the voice,
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. I'm Brian Sexton, and pleased to welcome in the head coach this evening, Jack Del Rio. How are you?
Good. Good evening.
Good. Obviously, eventful couple of days here, and what it really amounts to is, I don't know if you can call it a vote of confidence or a good business decision or how you want to term it, but you and Wayne Weaver sat down yesterday, and you decided that the outcome of your rebuilding job here is yet to be determined. And so, despite we live in a knee-jerk society, Coach. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, in a 24-hour media cycle, and in a world of what have you done for me lately, I think a lot of people thought, well, Wayne will just make a change, and he didn't do that. And so, you go forward now, and just I guess your thoughts on what you have to do now in 2011.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, for me, the biggest thing was what I felt was a concern for all the families involved. I mean, I'm going to be fine.
Right.
And believe me, I love what I do here, but I was most concerned about all the different families that are
your staff.
Yeah, staff and not just staff, but support staff and people that are affected directly by me. So I was happy that all of us can continue our work. I do believe in what we're doing. I think we are doing the right things. I think that basically is a confirmation of that. Now, obviously, we want more. And that's been stated very clearly by the owner, by me, by everybody involved, by the players, all of us. We all and so we share in that sentiment out there that says, hey, you know, okay, yeah, but we want more. And I agree wholeheartedly with that. And that's what we plan on doing, you know, is providing more. And with this opportunity, we can build upon the success we've had. I think when you see other franchises that don't show the patience and blow things up, then – you really don't have a chance to get that traction that you need to build a consistent winner. And that's what we think we're on the verge of doing.
Well, I think the argument that made the most sense was he looked at 2 years, not eight. He looked at that second rebuilding job that you mentioned in your news conference today.
Mm-hmm.
Most staffs don't get a second chance to do this.
Right.
And when you look at the last 2 years, obviously you see a lot of new faces and a lot of young players and a lot of ascension that is still to come.
Well, and
or at least theoretically is still to
no
come.
No question. And that's why it was stated the way it was, because in effect, we sat here after the 2008 season and were brutally honest with ourselves.
Okay.
And said, okay, we need to purge this roster and then begin to rebuild it. And that's not going to be, you know, when we all discussed it and talked about that, there was a need to do that and to build it the right way and to not let it be a gradual, slow process, but to blow it up and do it, you know, as quickly as possible, as aggressively as possible. Well, let me tell you, as a veteran head coach, I know that puts me in the bullseye, because it's not very often that a veteran coach is going to be allowed this opportunity. So it's rare. And I'm very appreciative of having this opportunity to do just this. I do believe in the direction and the work that's being put in and what Gene's doing in terms of bringing talent in. And we are a draft and develop organization. And if you're going to draft and develop, that's going to take a little bit of time.
Right.
That's hard to sell. But that is the best way for us to grow this thing, you know, for the future of this franchise, not only, you know, going forward this next year, but in the years to come.
Right. I think the toughest question, and I don't know whether there's an answer for it yet or not, is how do you turn that end of the season thing around? Because I think that's what most people are saying is, hey, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the part about it. And you won't offer this, but I'll offer it out there. If you had Aaron Campman and David Garrard and Maurice Jones-Drew and Justin Durant, if you had a healthy team, you might have what Mike Smith has going in Atlanta right now, which is to say they didn't put people on IR all season long. They didn't lose players along the way. So
yeah,
I think it's valid to a degree.
Yeah, no question. You know, one of the things you fight for is to be healthy at the end of the year. That's something we need to do everything we can to help that happen.
Right.
That's one thing, and part of it is good fortune. But you know, we're going to look at everything to make sure if there's anything we can do to help ourselves be a little healthier at the end of the year. We want to be able to do that. So that's certainly one. And then we've got to be a little stronger. We've, you know, that's part of when you're
when you say
building,
stronger, you mean physically stronger?
I mean, yeah, talent-wise, everything okay. We got to be better.
Right.
We got to be better. I mean, you know, when you get your opportunity, you got to be able to seize it. And I think, you know, what we are proud of is that in the middle of this rebuilding effort, we put ourselves in position at the end of the year. It almost is like because we did, people are saying, hey, you're so good, you should have done it.
Right.
And I'm not sure that's fair or accurate. I think we put ourselves in a good position. We weren't able to take advantage of it. But in the end, is that the question has to be asked, okay, are we a team that didn't achieve because we weren't good enough? Or do we miss our opportunities? Those are questions you have to ask. But in my opinion, we're doing it the right way.
I think if people are honest with themselves, and I'll be honest with you and all of our listeners, after the loss to the Titans here on Monday Night Football and the loss without David Garrard in Kansas City, I don't think I could have told you that going to Indy, you'd play for the division title. I mean, just being honest, I don't know that I saw this right. team as having that opportunity. So what you say bears out. You had a six-game run there in the middle of the season that put you, well, the
gave
second
us,
half.
Gave
yeah,
us a chance.
Put you right there. And the key to that was Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yes, he was.
I mean, not him alone, but he really carried the ground game, which set everything up for you.
It, absolutely. And then we earned that opportunity,
right.
and then we didn't take advantage of that opportunity. But there was a lot of good that led up to having that opportunity, a lot of exciting home games, a lot of exciting finishes, a lot of execution at crunch time, you know, a lot of finding a way as a football team, and that's what we're able to do.
I think
so that's what I'm proud of.
I think people could reasonably understand that you lose a game to the Colts in Indianapolis. I mean, that is Peyton Manning. They have been very good there. When you see a lot of the or hear a lot of the venom from people who are upset, mm-hmm. it's the Redskins game that got them upset. And all kinds of things.
And me too.
Well, all kinds of things are thrown out. Well, they didn't look prepared. Okay. But you said earlier today it was your best defensive game of the year.
Right.
Right. I mean, so there was an interception, and people say, ah, they weren't ready to play. They were listless. They did, you know, whatever it may have been.
No. Well, no. You can't watch the tape and think that.
Right.
Now, we did not play well offensively in a game where they were very depleted defensively. And as I said earlier today, put that squarely on my shoulders. You know, we've got to be able to put together something to go after a group that's that depleted and do more than we did offensively in that ball game. And so I accept the responsibility of that. Let's put that square on my shoulders, along with whatever else ails you, so we can just all go forward, because that's what we have to do is go
sure.
forward. And our energies have to be on, okay, what we have done, great, let's build on that. What we need to do better, let's identify that. And then where we can strengthen ourselves, let's do that. And then let's get back together and have that all-in commitment that we had as a football team this year.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, and talk with the head coach. You can join us as well. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Stack phone lines here for the Jack Del Rio Show. By the way, I'm told we'll have Mel Tucker in here next week, who is going to be your defensive coordinator.
He is the coordinator.
Okay.
I mean, he was this year.
He's going to make the calls next
year. He'll be doing the play calling.
Okay.
Really, a very minor shift.
And that's something, though, that you said you were going to do anyway.
Well, that is something that, yes, I definitely.
You believe he was ready.
I don't want to stay in that capacity. You know, I worked with Mike Smith in a similar capacity early in his time here. I called a lot of the defense early in our time together. And as we got on the same page and I was comfortable, I turned it over to him. And I feel that way about Mel. You know, I love our staff. We've got a good staff. I think some of the comments you heard from the players are not just about me, but they're about the staff. I mean, they know that we're putting ourselves in good positions to make plays, and they know the staff is very capable, and there are good relationships, and it's a strong environment to learn and for us to teach in. And so I think that the comments you've seen have been reflective of that.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. If you got a thought for the coach, bring it. 355-NFL-1. Let's go. Where do we go? Let's start with Deborah. Oh, she just dropped off. Let's start with Wayne then on the west side. Wayne, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Good evening and Happy New Year. Are you with us, Wayne? I guess Wayne has left as well. So let's go to, we're going to go to the quarterback, I guess. Brian is in Ponte Vedra Beach. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Hey, Coach, how you doing this evening?
Hey, Brian. Good evening.
Hey, man, I just wanted to know what your heading is with our quarterback for the 2011 season.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, are we going to stick with David, or are we going to look at other options?
Well, as a football team, we always look at options. There's never an off season that goes by where you don't look at every option available at every position, and this off season will be no different. I think the thought of us, one, we will have David back. Two, we would like to, you know, grab a quarterback to develop in the draft at some point. I've been wanting that for a number of years. We've been talking about that as an organization. And so I think that there also is a veteran presence that we'd like to have along with those two guys. So, you know, that's how we'd like to address that position, ideally. And then we'll see how it plays out. But I don't know if that answers your question or not.
I know it's too early in the process, but did you watch any of the college bowl games? You see any quarterbacks out there? I mean, it looks like it's going to be a good draft for quarterbacks to get one of those young guys, whether it's someone to come in and compete right away or to groom.
It's just too early right now because you don't have the declares, the underclassmen declares. So you don't know how strong a class it could be. But it's potentially a very strong class depending on the number of declares.
Not that you would have any shot at him, but did you see the luck kid last night for Stanford?
Yeah, don't get me in trouble.
Yeah. That's right. You can't even comment on him. He's really good. Brian, appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. And if you bring a young quarterback in, you have Trent Edwards. McCown comes back from the ACL. David Garrard is here. You could have a very competitive training camp situation at that.
Yeah, those are all things that we'll have to sort through to determine exactly how we want to approach this season. But I know that we've talked about addressing the position. We've also talked about the fact that, you know, you've got to recognize what David is. David's a good player.
Yeah.
He may not be all that everybody wants him to be, but what he is, he is a good player at that position. And it's a position where if you don't have one, if you don't have one at all, talk to some of those teams. I mean, if you don't have one, you're really hurting.
Well, look at the Arizona Cardinals this year. It's a great example. They were a high-flying passing attack with Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner goes away. Matt Leinart's not the solution. And they start playing with Derek Anderson, Max Hall. Nothing against those guys, but they were without a quarterback this year, and look what happened to them.
Well, you know, if we can just work hard as an organization to get stronger throughout our football team, and if we can get our quarterback and David to flatten out some of the low spots because his high spots were really good.
Four games with three touchdown passes this year—that's a franchise best.
So we need to flatten out some of the low spots and continue to get some of the bright moments because we got some. We had some really bright moments and. You know, we do that, then we're all a lot happier.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's grab Kevin, who's up the road in Savannah. Kevin, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Good evening.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Coach, my question is also with the offensive side of the ball. Throughout the year, we did not see, or at least I did not notice, very many audibles by the quarterback this year. And I'm wondering, is that something that, Coach Cutter is not able to coach? Is it something that David Garrard is not capable of doing, or is it something that Coach Cutter doesn't believe in doing?
No, we actually have an audible system that's a part of our offense. You're just seeing it executed without a lot of fanfare. But you know, we do have that as part of our plan each week. So. You know, there are checks from one play to another that are just happening without it, you know, being real noticeable to everybody else. So that's actually a good thing for us. But we definitely do have that, and we'll remain a part of our offense.
Covered, Kevin?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Right, I just don't see the audibles happening.
Yeah, no, you don't see the demonstrative at the line calling the play at the line that Peyton does. That's not what we're doing with our offense. There aren't many teams that do, but we do have an offense where we will call multiple plays and get to the line, and David gets us in the right look.
Appreciate the phone call, Kevin. Happy New Year up in Savannah. We'll grab one more call before our next break. We'll go down the road to Orlando, where Mike is standing by. Mike, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I just want to ask you, what is that one piece that you feel you're missing that's going to push you over the post to win the division?
The one piece.
Yes. I mean, you were very close this year, but what is that one piece you feel that you're missing?
Yeah, I think we got into a one-piece approach a couple years back and got ourselves in trouble. I think, you know, for us, we want to continue to strengthen our football team. You know, the missing element is to go up and play better football with our opportunity. I think we're capable. But we've got to execute in critical moments. And that's when we did that during a stretch. We were close to going 6-6 during that stretch. We let the Giants come back on us, but we played really good football during that stretch. Went to Indy and kind of stubbed our toe there. And, you know, you've got to be able to take advantage of that opportunity when you're there. And so there's no, you know, as far as beating the Colts, we've beaten the Colts before, and when we've done that, it's been because we've played well as a football team. We've scored points, didn't settle for field goals. We've converted our short yardage attempts.
Sure.
We have possessed the ball and kept Peyton on the sideline. And, you know, we have done those things when we've beaten them, and other teams that have beaten them have done the same thing.
I appreciate the phone call, Mike, down in Orlando. We need a break. We'll take it now. We'll come back more with the head coach. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
We are going back to the phone lines, but if I look at the stat sheet, Coach, and I know this is one that will grade on you. The one thing that I thought was a huge difference maker from the stat sheet was that turnover ratio this year. And the defense didn't create enough of those, and the offense turned it over too much.
Yes.
Minus 15, just
very true
to
statement.
To be 8-8 and minus 15 is a bit of an enigma.
It is unusual. It's a statistical, probably an anomaly.
Right.
Because it's almost impossible to do. And I think why we were able to is because we were able to run it so well, and our special teams was really good.
Right.
And I think those things kind of overcame some of the turnovers. And then, you know, we probably had two really strong defensive days. If you really look at it,
Washington and Dallas.
All right, maybe three.
Okay.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
We played very good in that game. So we turned it over a ton and overcame. I think we were minus five.
Six turnovers.
You go minus five and win the game.
Right.
You know, that's an anomaly. Yeah. I mean, that's not going to happen very often.
Grab a couple phone calls here, 355-NFL1. David is in Riverside, and David, you are up next with the head coach. Good evening.
Good evening, Brian. Coach, how are you, sir?
Good. Hey, David.
My question was already previously answered as far as what do you look, you know, forward to as far as improving during the offseason.
Sure.
And you generally said, you know, the entire team, you know, looking at one particular position or anything is kind of what happened already before. So I greatly appreciate that answer. On that note, I do want to say Wayne made a fantastic decision. I will be buying season tickets coming up, and I only want to say it's because they brought you back. So you have my vote of confidence and my family's vote of confidence, and I hope we improve on the 8-8 record.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate that, and I can assure you that everybody in this building feels the same way. You know, we understand that we want to be playing in this postseason tournament that's getting ready to kick off, and you know, we know we're close, and we're gonna give you everything we have. I think you've seen a football team that is willing to lay it on the line, is going to stick together, is going to stand for the right things, and we just need to strengthen ourselves a little bit here and get ready to roll again next year, and we'll do that for you.
David, thanks for the call. Let's go forward and grab Mike in Atlantic Beach up next. Hey, Mike, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Coach. How are you?
Good. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, 8-8 year. By most accounts, I think you guys are fortunate to be 8-8. You probably should have been 7-9. You very easily could be 6-10. I find it hard to believe Coach A retains you as the coach here. And personally, the fact that the team was ecstatic when you retained shows them that they are very, very happy to be complacent and mediocre. Because they are mediocre. And the beatings you guys took on Monday Night Football, the beatings you guys took at the hands of Philadelphia were hard to watch. And I find it unfathomable that your team supports you. It shows me Weaver is very, very happy with a mediocre product.
Well, Mike, I certainly respect your opinion. I happen to disagree with you wholeheartedly. But, hey, you're entitled to your opinion. So, good luck to you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you weighing in this evening. Just a thought on that, and that is the support you show by the players. We had Rashad Jennings come into the television studio last night, and at the point that he came into the studio, he had no idea what the outcome was. He had not seen the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, he's staying, right? And Loggy turned and goes, yeah, and he just did a silent yes. So if anybody doubts that, I can tell you firsthand, I saw it from Rashad Jennings last night.
Or somehow that means we want to accept being mediocre.
Yeah, yeah. You nice, have to extrapolate a little bit on that.
Nice shot.
To come out with that. You know, it brings us to the point. You're going to face a little bit of that this year. You're going to face some people who are angry or don't know how to channel their disappointment in the season. And Mike calls and says that he wants to talk about, looks like the team supports you, and then he turns in that direction. And there will be people at a Rotary Club meeting or something that will do the exact same thing. I doubt it. You doubt that most people would?
I doubt it. I doubt that they'll do that at a meeting.
Okay, they probably won't do it in person.
I doubt it. I don't think they have the courage for that.
Okay, but there will be some people that will want to say something that is not pleasant. And how do you deal with that?
Yeah, no, listen. There are always going to be those people that are – look, you're all entitled to your opinion.
Sure.
Everybody is. And there are always going to be those that have difficulty dealing with the frustration they feel. And so I'll just leave it at that. You know, what I've got to do as a football coach is bring all the positive energy that I can to the job I'm doing. And actually this year was a testimony to doing just that. I think that's what the team appreciates. I think you feel that, you know, you have a couple things go wrong and the sky is falling. No, the sky is not falling. And we stick together, we can have a run here. And we did have a run because we stuck together. If we didn't stick together, we would not have run off five of those six in the middle of the year to put ourselves in position like we did. So those are the things that the people that really know what competition is, that have been in the arena, that understand what it takes to put your neck on the line every week, those are the things you draw on.
Well, and to your point, the Kansas City game and the Tennessee game were back-to-back, and that was a point where a lot of people were, you know, holding their head in their hand.
Sure.
And then that is at the point where you went to Dallas, and then you turned around and you created that 5 out of 6.
Exactly.
So, yeah, what you're talking about. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More comments and questions for the head coach here on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Rolling right along here with the head coach, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Dave joins us from St. Augustine Beach, and he's been waiting for a while. Dave, good evening. Nice to have you on the program this evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my call. I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday. Coach, I just wanted to, it's funny how people's opinions can vary so much, but just wanted to convey my appreciation for a very exciting year, a very entertaining year. I think I hugged more people up in Section 434 than I've ever hugged in my life this year. It was really just a great season. I don't think there's any question that the team got better as the season went on, especially when we, you know, put in certain guys at certain positions, the Courtney Greens and the Jeremy Menzies and even the Austin Lanes of the world. I think the team is certainly very young, and at key positions, important positions with very good players who, you know, I don't know if there's other teams in the league who are expecting as much from as many rookie and first and second year players as we are. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Those guys are obviously players that are ascending, that are, you know, good at what they do, are going to continue to get better. So, Coach, I'm not I'm not one of these guys that hates David Garrard. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. I think that he still maybe has another level in him to achieve, you know. Whether that happens or not, you know, it's yet to be seen. I don't think there's a question that we'll draft a quarterback, and I'm sure it's going to be somebody good. So I think the future looks bright for us one way or another. If I had a tangible question, I think of all the lame brain ideas that are thrown out there, it's maybe the one that has the most merit, perhaps. But what are the odds of, if we do get a pretty good corner in the draft or otherwise, of Rasheen moving to free safety? That just seems like something that may or may not happen, but, you know, could. Either way, Coach, thanks for a great year. Good luck in the offseason and moving forward. I'm glad you're back. Go Jaguars.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. You know, that's something that, that may be discussed at some point. You know, I was in Baltimore with a fellow named Rod Woodson, who who made the transition from corner to safety. And, you know, if you remember correctly, when Rasheen got here in 03, we started him at free safety. But, you know, it's so hard to find corners. And the way he closed the year, he actually did close the year playing well at corner. It's so much harder to find corners than safeties. You know, so I don't know that we would do that. It's certainly an option at some point, but I think it may be a little premature at this point in time.
Do you know if he plans on being part of an off-season program this year? I mean, obviously we have to get through the labor negotiation, but assuming that you have an off-season program this year, will Rasheen be a part of it in 11?
Well, we certainly hope so. I think he would benefit from that. And, you know, there's still time. A lot of things have to be settled. We have to get that agreement in place,
sure,
first of all, before anybody has an off-season. But, you know, certainly that would benefit him, and we'd love to see that.
Any insight on that at all? I mean, I know you haven't paid much attention to it, but do you feel confident knowing, you know, what's at stake, that the parties will get together?
No, I think you know, in the end, that you have two sides that understand what's at stake, and they'll get something done.
Hopefully,
so,
we will.
That's my hope. As a coach, I'm just sitting in the middle hoping for the best.
Well, I mean, there's a lot involved. How would you? What if you didn't get your team until training camp? I mean, boy, that could be a rough go of it, trying to put a good product on the field.
Very rough. Yeah, I wouldn't like to see that at all.
Good thing you only have a 16-game schedule and not an 18, huh? Sorry, I'm dating you. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Rob in Orange Park up next. Rob, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Good evening.
Good evening to you, Brian. Happy New Year to you, gentlemen.
You too.
I appreciate you taking my call. I don't have a question for you tonight, Coach, just a comment or two. And like your last caller, I'm up in the nosebleeds in section 436, and this is my fourth year with season tickets, and it was the most exciting season of the ones that I've been in, and I can't wait for more. I really think that you always talk about your staff, your players having to not get too high and not get booked. I guess as fans, we don't have to worry about that so much.
That's right.
I think when the season started, if you had told the fan base, hey, in week 16 and week 17, you're going to be in the running. You might not make the playoffs, but you're going to be in the running in the end of the season with this roster, with the holes that we all know that you've got to fill still, you and Gene Smith, I think every fan out there would have said, I'll take that. So I think if the fan base can just calm down and look at what you accomplished and how this team really did improve, all the blowouts and all except for the Cleveland game, all the turnovers were early on in the season. As this season went on until Washington, this team was playing better every single week. And I think as a fan base, we need to remember that. And it seems like you and Gene Smith have got a good working relationship, and there really is something good going on here. I hope people stay on board with that, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you very much, Rob. That's a great call, and it's definitely somebody that's paying attention.
Sure.
Because it does take some time to build something meaningful. And that's what we're doing. You know, it's not – if you're going to become a draft and develop team, you don't expect results overnight. And we put ourselves in position to have a big moment and bring home the crown, and we didn't get it done.
Right.
Okay, if you want to be mad about that, then get mad about that. That's fine. That's not going to help us be better.
Right.
But get mad about it. So we want to feel the pain of that, and then we want to use that, channel that in a positive way and grow as a football team as we go forward. And that's what we're going to do. Great call by Rob. We do have some holes. We will fill them. We will be closer. And I don't know as an organization that you ever fill all of the holes, but we can certainly, you know, add some strength to this football team and go forward, you know, full of energy.
How's Aaron Campman's recovery from the surgery?
I mean,
I know it's early still in the process, but he's going to be a key part, obviously, pass rusher.
Did you see him down in Houston?
I did. I saw him get on the plane, and it was good to see him get on the plane and finish the season with this team, because I thought he was a key component in the locker room to the professional attitude this locker room had.
He really is. He's a strength. I asked him to come on the trip. I wanted him to be down there for that game. I wanted him to be on the sideline with the guys. He was all of that. And he's just an example of the type of man that we've brought into the locker room, the character, the strength. Getting him back will obviously be a plus for us, And so, no, that's to me, it was a great addition, and we need more guys like that.
Let's grab two more calls here, and we'll go with Miles on the west side. Miles, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. Thank you, and Happy New Year's.
And to you.
My question is, I think what a lot of fans, and I don't want to really speak for a lot of fans, but I'll speak for myself. I think there was a lot of inconsistency, you know, throughout the season. One game we would see, say, the offense play well. The next game it may be special teams. Next game it may be the defense or a combination of the two, but never a lot of we saw the team. You know, we may have seen individuals, but not the team. And if you can comment on team consistency and playing together as a whole, I think if we can do that, put that together, we will have a great team. But as far as 2010, that's water in the bridge. Let's move forward.
Okay, Miles. Well, that's certainly the challenge in coaching, is to get all three phases to play complementary football. That's really what we're striving for. I think, you know, when you go over an NFL season and you look and you say, okay, the Cleveland Browns team that came in here, 2 weeks before they came in here, they destroyed the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots are, I would argue, the best team in football. I mean, they are just dominating.
14-2, and Brady's playing as well as he ever has.
I mean, it's incredible to watch. And how did they lose to Cleveland? Is Belichick a bad coach? Did, you know, is Brady a bad quarterback? I mean, were they inconsistent? I mean, things happen in this league. This is a tough league. There are talented players and coaches on both teams every week. And it's not, you don't get an off week. And so, you know, being consistent is what you're after. And the reason I bring that up is just because he's talking about the point of consistency. It happens in this league. It can happen in this league. And certainly what we want to do as a football team is strengthen ourselves and flatten out those low spots. We want to have fewer and fewer of those low spots. We want to have as many of those bright days as we can. And when you do that, then you're having a lot of fun and you're playing in the postseason tournament, and you're contending for a world championship, and that's what we're all after.
All right, we've blown through some breaks, and we need to take it. Give me one sec here, Joe. And, Coach, I know you've got someplace to be. Can you fix the defense this offseason? I think that's a question that a lot of people are going to ask, and I know there's no guarantees, but do you feel confident with some of the players you've got and some that you know that Gene Smith will bring to you that you can enact a turnaround in 11?
Well, we're all counting on that because we absolutely have to. We've got to get our defense back to where it began. And we began here in 03, in 04, playing good defense. And we know what it looks like. I've been a part of great defenses for a long time in this league. And we have been, you know, in the bottom quartile the last 2 or 3 years. And that's something we absolutely will address.
The offense had 5 games of at least 30 points this year, which was a franchise record. David, 23 touchdown passes, franchise record, 5 rushing. Maurice had another big year.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the growth quotient in your offense? Where can they get better to help you make the defense better?
Well, we want to continue to do what we know we can do as a running offense, and we want to build on what we've done, the success we've had as a passing offense. I think, you know, Mike Thomas's development, he's become more than just a young rookie like he was last year. I mean, he's become a bona fide threat for us. I think Jason Hill's a guy that, you know, obviously we're going to have to work to get re-signed, but he came in and emerged. We'll see what happens with Mike Sims-Walker. He's up. He's a free agent. So there's some questions there that we have to fill in terms of, you know, who we're going to line up with. But we like what we have. We want to build on it. We want to be better. And, you know, Zach Miller was a guy that really – you know, as much as Mercedes blossomed, Zach was injured and really never had the kind of impact we were hoping to get from him this year. Hopefully we can get that next year.
Right. And Captain Obvious here, you got to get Mercedes done, get him here next year. I know his contract's up.
Yeah.
He was tremendous.
Yeah, he was very good. And we will have Mercedes here next year.
Joe's going to kill me if I don't take a break. But we'll see you soon.
You got it. Happy New Year.
And to all of you. We'll come back with a couple more quick segments and wrap up the Jack W. Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
To the Jack Del Rio Show, Brian Sexton along with you. And we are going to rip through some of these segments here as we wrap it up. We have two more shows. And we will next week feature the defensive coordinator, Mel Tucker. And we'll talk with him about this defense. Obviously, the questions will be very direct from you. And we will talk frankly with him about what this defense has and what it needs, what his vision is for this defense. You may have heard the owner's news conference last evening in which he talked about the blitz schemes. And so we'll talk with Mel about that and see what he wants to do. Mel's a guy, if you don't know his background, who was with Nick Saban at Michigan State. He was with Jim Tressel at Ohio State, was with Romeo Crennel, who did a fantastic job this year with the Kansas City Chiefs defense. So we'll kind of pick through some of the philosophies that Mel brings to the table and talk very candidly about what this defense needs to do. And then the week after, we get the chance to visit with Dirk Cutter, the Jaguars offensive coordinator, and we can talk with him about David. Obviously, he's a guy who has been a big proponent of David. In fact, was very supportive of him in the last 2 weeks of the season. We'll talk about Maurice. We'll talk about the offensive line. And very engaging guy. We don't get that much time with him. So I'm looking forward to 2 weeks from tonight when Dirk Cutter is here. I mentioned we're going to blow through some of these breaks. We've got to do it right now. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We went long. We pushed past it because we wanted to get some more content with Jack. So hopefully you understand here as we wrap things up at the end of the show that we just don't have enough time for that. For those of you listening in Jacksonville, tomorrow night, Jaguars This Week begins its off-season run. It's just 1 hour, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock on News Talk Radio WOKV. And you can hear that at WOKV.com for those of you who listen outside the area. And obviously Vic and Jeff will have strong thoughts on Mr. Weaver's decision, what this team needs to do. And we're unfortunately going to have to start into some of the labor conversations. I don't know whether you heard that Jerry Richardson, the Panthers owner and one of the co-chairs of the labor committee, said today that he didn't think that the NFL was as far along as it appeared that they would like to be. So it's going to become an issue whether we want it or not. So this break, then we'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Wrapping things up here. Jaguars finish 8-8, obviously. Sitting and watching, and it's not a lot of fun because I know Joe and I were sitting here a few weeks ago getting ready for the Indianapolis game saying, you know, this is more than we expected this year, and this is going to be some fun because they were going to get a home playoff game. And I don't think that either the Ravens or the Jets are as complete as people portray them to be. I thought the Jaguars could get a win in one of those games. You know, going to Pittsburgh, we know how difficult that is. In New England, obviously, I think that may be the biggest playoff challenge since the Jaguars went to Denver in the 96 playoffs. And to sit here today, it's difficult. There's no doubt about that. So we'll just see. GM Gene Smith now takes over, and it's his job, along with his team led by Terry McDonough, to bring the talent in. And I don't think you can say enough good things about the way that Gene has reconstructed the roster. So hopefully we'll get a chance to visit with Gene in the very near future as he goes about that, and we'll see how things roll out. Appreciate you listening this evening. And remember, we have two more shows here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Next week, defensive coordinator Mel Tucker. The week after, offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday here on the Jack Del Rio Show.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.